From the Marquee Media Studio inside Mark Tank, it's the Mark Haney Show.
Yes, this is the Mark Haney Show on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in the hometown we love. We do that by building the Backyard Advantage. The most connected community in the world for local entrepreneurs is based around this culture of love. In many ways, our region is kind of like a small town, even though we're not the smallest place in the world. In a lot of ways, we're like a small town. And if you believe in the Backyard Advantage, if you like what we're doing, don't forget to like and subscribe. Today's show is going to we're going to have a unique guest today on the show that really is running one of the most important organizations in Sacramento. We have Cindy Nichols. She's the director of airports for the Sacramento County Department of Airports. So, Cindy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Mark. I'm so pleased to be here.
I'm glad you are here. And there's a lot I do not know about airports, so please forgive my ignorance. I just know it from going to the airport once in a while to go catch a flight and come home and all that kind of stuff. So maybe if you don't mind, when I was thinking about airports and your job, you're running four airports in Sacramento, the big one, and then there's some smaller ones as well. I feel like, is it fair to say that it's a lot like being a landlord? You have this big property and you have, you know, ways that people utilize your property.
You know, the way I would characterize it, it's like running a little city.
Okay.
Because, yes, we have areas that we lease to tenants. We have a lot of air cargo entities. We also lease space to the airlines, concessionaires, etc. But we also operate a lot. So, you know, we run all the roadways. We keep all the runways up and going. We interact a lot with the FAA. So it's really, as I say, just kind of like being
like
the mayor
of a little city. You kind of have to have a little bit of everything to keep the organization and the infrastructure cranking along. Because I can imagine, and maybe we can talk about this a little bit later, is like if things start fouling up at the airport, you know, people cry pretty loudly because a lot of times that flight, it's so important. It might be to go to Cabo, like what I'm going to do in a couple of days. You know, super important to me to be on vacation. They got that margarita waiting for me, and I don't want to be late for it. But other times, it's maybe it could even be a death in the family or somebody's really ill. It could be something super, super critical. And when things don't go our way, I have to imagine it can be an emotional time for people.
It is. And, you know, our number one value is starting with the customer, seeing things from their perspective, and every day working to make things better. So, you know, we also recognize that, you know, our community doesn't distinguish between what's because of an airline issue, what's because of our, you know, airport issue, FAA. So we take responsibility for coordinating with everybody.
Okay, well, as long as you brought this up, I had a little idea that I would test our audience and you for what are the top five complaints according to ChatGPT about airports. Okay, and I want, this is one of the, whose fault is it? Is it the airport or is it some other entity within the airport? Okay, so first of all, I want you to guess what came up number one. So that's okay. Where I'm testing you.
Number one at most airports is how clean the bathrooms are.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Now, I take pride in the fact that we have a really good set of in-house custodians, as well as we've contracted out a lot of our custodial work. Mm-hmm. And we focus on that. We take a lot of pride in that.
I would agree that your bathrooms are clean. You and I were talking. I don't know if I'm I travel more than the typical person, but I probably travel once or twice a month. And so I'm in and out of the airports. And I agree with you. I think your bathrooms, by and large, are big enough. And, you know, I don't like it when they block and close the whole men's restroom, but, you know, it's clean when I get in there.
Good.
I did notice that you guys did a remodel over at I think it was Terminal A on the bathrooms. You guys have like private doors going into the bathroom that could shut all the way. Like you could go in there to get some serious privacy compared to the normal stall.
Yeah, we're very proud of that.
Yeah, that's nice. You don't see that at too many airports.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, that's really cool.
So we like
that's an extra expense. How did you go about rationalizing that decision? Because obviously we love it as clients.
Sure.
But don't really expect it.
Sure.
That's one of those surprise ones.
You know, Terminal A is getting a little long in the tooth. It's built in the 90s, early 90s. And so we're really trying to keep it refreshed. So the bathrooms are one thing. The restrooms are one thing we've done there. We're actually in the process of refreshing our concessions. All of our food and beverage offerings are changing. We have some mall walls up right now while we do that construction. Mm-hmm. So that was the reason. It wasn't by our standards. It wasn't that expensive. I mean, now we have a $1.4 billion capital program. So, yeah.
So it was, it feels like a kind of a nice to have, but not need. So it was nice to, it's nice if the client or the customer is in front of mind, it's nice to get surprised by something as simple as that. It's like, it's not that big a deal to me, but still thought it was really nice. And I was like, wow.
And by the way, Congresswoman Doris Matsui has even commented on the new restrooms.
Oh, really? Well, there you go. Maybe we think alike.
Yes, indeed.
That's
so
interesting.
I'll give you my guess as to the number one challenge.
Okay.
It's probably either close-in parking or the shuttle bus to the rental car facility.
Interesting. Now, this is ChatGPT, and I didn't ask about Sacramento. I think Sacramento's ranked really well in a lot of categories, and even nationally. Yeah. So I want to talk about that at some point. The number one thing that came up, according to OpenAI, is long security lines.
That's
but you probably don't hear that one that much, because it's like, whose fault is that?
So we have a really good relationship with our federal inspection folks, with our FIS. So the TSA folks are always on it. We work well with them. We actually have a team of explosive detection dogs that help expedite the lines.
Oh, that's part of the airport.
Versus the TSA. We have them, and sometimes the TSA pays for them and sometimes not. Mm-hmm. There's legislation that passed the Senate today that would reimburse us for that. So we'll see what happens, but in the past...
We got to wait for the House to vote on that, right?
That's exactly right.
Oh,
so,
interesting. Yeah. The big, beautiful bill.
Yes.
I wouldn't have thought about how it might affect airports.
Right.
That's interesting. Because I always see things from the small business point of view, but yeah, obviously how we fund the, you know, everything within government is key. Even down to the county level from the federal level.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, so long security lines. I agree. The Sacramento, and I didn't know why, but the lines move pretty well. There's enough room to get in line in both Terminal A and Terminal B. I don't see things causing traffic jams or major problems associated with lines when I'm around. So, and I'd say I'm a semi-frequent user. So, and I want to go back to Terminal A and B.
Sure.
We were talking about, the main airport in Sacramento.
Yeah.
Terminal A is the older one, is what you're saying, and they've gone through some remodel. And Terminal B is the newer one. So, for those listening that maybe don't go as much, Terminal B is like where you go with a Southwest flight.
Right.
It's a little bit bigger.
Sure.
Yeah. And then the other one might be more, what was Terminal A? I'm trying to think what I went to Terminal A for.
Terminal A is really more the long haul and what I would call the legacy carriers. So American, United, Delta operate out of that terminal. We've got in B, in addition to Southwest, we also have Alaska, Frontier, Spirit, Hawaiian. So it's a mix of carriers over on the east side of the terminal.
Okay, so I'm testing you on what ChatGPT is going to say because for fun.
I love this.
top five complaints about airports. Number two, guess on that.
Food offerings.
Food pricing.
Food pricing.
I don't know about the offering. That didn't come up, but I have to imagine that a $25 sandwich might get under people's skin or a beer that's $20 or something like that when you could, maybe they think it should be $5 or $10. I don't know. So
so we're working on that. And here's what we did. Oh. 2 years ago, we did a solicitation for to completely change out all of our concessionaires, our food and beverage concessions. And when I came in at the end of 2018, I liked that we had some high-end offerings, but I wanted to serve all our customers. So a family of six that's traveling to, you know, Guadalajara or something won't be able to afford that.
Mm-hmm.
Our staff reached out to more than 200 local restaurants, first of all.
Love that.
And they did a very creative set of outreach programs to encourage entities to respond to our request for proposals. And so we're going to be getting a mix, some very high end, great places from this area, as well as, you know, more basic. We're going to get some Vietnamese food.
Oh, great.
We haven't had Asian food in either terminal. And we're also going to get Wendy's.
Oh, very
so,
cool.
So, you know, we're trying to really provide a range of different price points as well as types of food for people. Mm-hmm.
Well, I have to definitely defend the small business person or the company. It could be a big business that's got a space at the airport. We have to remember that it takes a lot to get our employees in and out of the airport, and you probably have to pay them a little bit more and these kind of things. There's just a cost to do it, and probably the rent on the space is more than what they might pay outside. I'm not sure. I could ask you about that. But yeah. The cost of doing business in an airport, you have to pass it along somehow. These businesses are not non-for-profit type companies. They got to make a buck.
You're exactly right. It's hard for our concessionaires, for everyone actually operating at the airport, to attract people to be willing to come to the airport, get a, you know, go through the background check to get a badge, and then come every day, go through security. So the labor costs are significant for them, and we help our concessionaires. We have job fairs frequently and help advertise for that. What I will say is the way we actually adopted a new business model, which is a little bit innovative in the industry, where they don't pay per square foot rent. They pay a percentage of their gross revenue.
Okay.
So there's no minimum that they owe us for any time period. So,
that's good. So as long as they manage their percentages correctly or effectively, then they should be able to come out with a reasonable bottom line.
So we share in the risk with them. If traffic's down, like during COVID, you know, then what we get will go down, and they won't pay us any more as a percentage than what they can.
Huh. And just thinking about this too, just as an encouragement for people going to the airport, and maybe not everybody's in a position to do this, but there's these workers out there and they're working holidays, they're working weekends, they're working in the middle of the night. So if you have that opportunity to say thank you or leave a couple extra bucks in a tip, I mean, these are people that are doing things that a lot of people might not be able to do or want to do just based upon their life circumstances. And you know, some people are doing these jobs, and even the people flying the planes and working inside the, you know, that whole job can be, it's not for everybody. And so we're lucky to have people that actually want to do that.
As I said, you know, it takes all professions from accountants to landscapers to planners to pilots, which is what most people think of immediately.
Yes.
But it takes all those types of jobs.
And I would think that the people that get made fun of the most are the people working TSA because of the different personalities associated with you have people singing and carrying around put your bags here and all this kind of stuff, and it's like, okay, we heard you when you said it the first time, you know. And it's almost like a Saturday Night Live skit sometimes when you go and deal with the different security people, but it's kind of fun.
They're certainly frontline.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, so my biggest complaint with Sac Metro airport regarding food is the Starbucks line. That place is hopping pretty much. If it's before noon, that thing is busy. So I hope Starbucks gets a bigger space at some point.
What we're doing is we're getting more and different types of coffee. So Temple Coffee is gonna, as when you in Terminal B, Concourse B, as you come through security, right in front of you is going to be a beautiful layout for them. It's going to be kind of a kiosk thing with, you know, rotation room all around.
Okay.
And it's going to be the first thing you see.
Oh, I love it. Okay. That'll give some options so that it's not, we're not over reliant on getting our caffeine from Starbucks.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Number three, whose fault is it? Top five complaints. Number three, you got a guess?
Roadway access.
Okay. Flight delays and poor communication associated with flight delays. Yeah. Okay. Whose fault is that?
So that's the airlines.
Okay, the airlines are responsible
yes,
for that.
Yes, and you know, the airlines are increasingly using smarter apps and those kinds of things to provide advance notice to people. So delays, you know, can be because of something that happened way earlier in their whole system. You know, if there's a storm in Atlanta, it can affect Delta service to us, for example.
Well, I have to imagine too. Let's see, my wife got home. So I just got home from New York on Sunday night. She stayed an extra day and got home last night. And she had a delay on, I think it was on the other, it wasn't in Sacramento, but she got, when you get stuck on the airplane, like, oh, God, get me off the airplane for a second. But when you, I've sat on the airplane for like hours before waiting for something that, you know, some kind of log jam associated with, I don't know, air traffic control or something.
By law, now they're not supposed to, airlines are not supposed to keep people on the plane for more than 2 hours without going to the terminal and letting them off.
Okay, I may be exaggerating. Yeah. It feels like two hours.
Yeah. But yeah, so, you know, we're, all of us are always looking for new ways to communicate better with our passengers. You can get that information also on our website.
Okay. It's interesting because you're on the flight and you're getting ready to take off and invariably you're like, okay, I'm going to have to go to the bathroom at some point on the flight, but I don't want to be the guy that gets up and delays the thing. You know, we've been on the tarmac for an hour. Now I ain't got to get up and go to the bathroom. And, you
just
know,
ask the flight attendants.
Yeah.
Because often people will do that and they'll, if it's going to be a while, they'll let them know.
Yeah, yeah. I figured that was it, but I didn't want to, like, I don't want to be looked at by the rest of the passengers and be mad at me for delaying for another minute or two.
Sure.
Okay, so number three was the flight delays and the poor communication, according to ChatGPT. Okay. Number four, that's three. Number four, okay, this one I think you haven't guessed it yet, but take one more shot here.
Okay.
Because this one I think has to do with the airport, but I'm not sure.
Okay. I've sort of guessed this already, not enough parking.
Okay. This according to ChatGPT.
Okay.
Lack of comfortable seating and charging stations. I guess that's why you're waiting for your flight.
Yeah.
That's not a problem at... I don't see people laying all over the floor in Sacramento too much. It's more, mostly people get seats.
Yeah. So we're always rethinking what seating makes sense given how congested things are, as well as, you know, just what we have available, et cetera. But we're always on that. And a lot of our seats do have power in them.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
you can
I've
just
noticed.
Plug into your seat. So we've been moving toward that a lot more.
Yeah, I think that's good. Mm-hmm. And that is that's on the airport. That's not
that's ours.
Yeah,
us.
So that's you guys, and that's just part of the. We chose you know, getting a better bathroom than you know, an extra seat. Okay, so number five. I only did five, so we won't keep going on this all day. So got a guess on number five?
Let me see. Rude people.
Rude people. That did come up.
Was common during COVID. Oh. Really common during COVID. People lost their
minds. Other passengers. Yes. Everybody's stress level was high.
Yeah.
My wife, her stress level was high too. She's always nice to people, but she'd... Uh-huh. I saw people right and left cleaning all the seats. She was carrying around the wipes. We basically double and triple cleaned our seats. You know, everybody's got to wear a mask, and that makes you in a bad mood a lot of times.
So I have another guess for
you. Yeah.
Waiting for your bags.
Yes.
Oh, yay.
Yes, you got it. You nailed it. Baggage claim delays and mishandled luggage.
Yeah.
And that's basically on the airline, right?
Yeah,
that's the airline that handles that.
Yep.
So,
yep.
And that I have to imagine because of automation happens less and less. Or is that mainly on connecting flights? Because
it varies. I will tell you that the one thing we need to do in Terminal A is improve the baggage handling system, because it that terminal was built before 911, and so it was before the what are called inline baggage systems. So we had to cobble it together. So that's the one investment we need to make in Terminal A for about probably, I don't know, 30, 40 million, something like that. So that's another thing we're going to invest in Terminal A. But otherwise, a lot of our major investments are going to be in Terminal B and Concourse B to expand that.
Okay. So my number one, I was joking about the Starbucks line. I can survive that. I have one, though, that it's a head scratcher for me. I go to Cabo, let's say, 5 times a year. Yeah. And I typically don't check a bag, but my wife or people you're traveling with might want to check a bag. And so you go through customs as you come back in, and you got now, this is probably something that's been going on for 6 to 8 months. I don't know if you made this decision or not, but you now have to, you go through the customs, show your passport, get through, and then you pick up your bag at the other place. And instead of leaving with your bag, like you used to be able to do, then you put it into a conveyor to go down to another baggage place down, you know, normal baggage pickup. So there's actually two processes. Yep. And I've had to wait down there on the in A for the stuff to get through the conveyor belt for periods of time. Yep. And I think some of that might have been getting through this. Yep. You know, I might have been one of the first guinea pigs going through.
So that's been a long-held standard in the industry. It's called bag recheck. Oh. That if you're coming in off an international flight, you pick up your bag, usually go through customs and then recheck it.
Okay, so when you're going on an international flight to connect, I can see that. Now, in your case, I asked the worker, because I'm not rechecking, I'm going home. I just got home, I'm ready to get home, I'm tired. And they said it was because, so of the travel, I think there's like a little escalator that goes up to exit that customs area. Yeah. And that escalator, apparently people were getting injured trying to lug their bags up that escalator.
Yeah.
Even though it doesn't seem like it'd be that tough.
That is a problem. Okay. And, you know, we care a lot about the safety. So we're always monitoring incidents, what caused them. Mm-hmm. So that's very likely. Yeah. And there's a whole way that baggage gets back into the terminal. So if a person's checked it, then they have a right or obligation, whatever you want to call it, to pick it up off the bag belt.
Okay.
So we have to get it there.
Yeah. Apparently there's a safety concern around getting your bag up a 40-foot escalator. It's a really small escalator. And
sometimes people let go of them. And
Okay, that's my crybaby.
Okay,
I'm very happy with. What would we do without this and without all your expansion? So maybe walk me through what's going on right now, because I've been going there. I've lived here my whole life, so I've been going to the airport forever, and it's just gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. More parking, better, more automated. So to me, it just seems like it's working really well. And when I did a little bit of research, I see that we're ranked well. So what's going really well? What are our strengths? And then what do you see as maybe our weaknesses? And then what are some of the things you're working on?
Sure. So, our strengths are, people love our airport. And you started out by talking about love. We really appreciate that they feel that way about the airport. And right back at you, and part of the reason I think people feel that way is because it's friendly and it's easy to maneuver. It's easy to get around. We need to grow, but we also need to keep that feel.
Oh, yeah.
So we're really working on that. So what we're doing is we're investing in 7 new projects, as I mentioned earlier, that total $1.4 billion.
Oh, goodness.
And so that's because we had 7 years of double-digit growth right before COVID, and we were behind. We didn't have enough close-in parking. We didn't have enough gates for the airlines. Roadway access was a little bit constrained. So, as I mentioned, the bag handling system in A. So we spent a lot of time identifying what exactly we needed to do to improve the customer experience. So one of the things, the first thing that you see when you were in B recently, you saw this. We're building a pedestrian walkway, which is kind of a skyway between Terminal B and Concourse B. Okay. Why are we doing that? It's not so much that the automated people movers, which are kind of fun, but a short ride,
right? Yeah.
They're up and running 98% of the time. But sometimes because of how crowded it is, people have to wait for two or three cars to come and go. That's frustrating. Mm-hmm. A lot of people like you and me want to just walk. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're building now between the terminal and the concourse.
Okay.
And it's going to be a lovely facility. It's underway. And let me see, I think it's going to open first quarter of next year.
Okay, so in Terminal, let me. I'm trying to visualize. So I was just in Terminal. We're talking about Terminal B. Terminal B. That's the southwest, yes. Right? And so, where's the walkway going
to
be?
It's right next to where the automated people mover is. Right next to the train.
Oh, right next to the train. Yes. Oh, gotcha.
So that's what we're building right there. Yep.
Oh, okay. So, I didn't even notice it. Yes. I was on the train was so dang crowded. I was like just trying to survive the train.
Right? There you go. Yeah. So, you know, we'll keep the train going for a while and make a decision about, you know, keeping it on operation or not. But we're going to be putting in moving sidewalks, which will go from the terminal to a hub, and then you have to go down about 30 feet to get to the level of the terminal.
How far is that? Is that about 300 yards?
That's a great question, and I don't know the answer to that. I should know
that. It seems like it's more than a football field, two or three football fields.
But I will tell you that when that automated people mover opened, it was the shortest that Bombardier had in the world.
Oh, okay.
The shortest in the world. So
the people mover is that train that you get in. Okay, gotcha.
So that's the first thing we're doing.
Okay, I like that.
And the other thing that's underway right now is right next to Terminal B, we'll have a new garage right there, which is a little bit bigger than the current one, and it's going to be beautiful.
And right now you can park in that garage and go to A or B.
Right.
So will that still continue?
You can go either one. I think people will choose to go to the new garage because it's going to be very convenient to be. So if you're traveling on Southwest, that's going to be the simplest thing to do.
Oh, that's great. And well, I mean, it's pretty convenient now. In my opinion, I go into that garage and, you know, go up a couple flights of stairs, or maybe you get lucky and park on 5 and, you know, just walk across that little, you know, whatever. It's like a 100-yard walk.
Right. So the main problem is we run out of parking.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to be building 5,500 spaces. We are building 5,500 spaces. I'm very proud of this. It's a woman-owned local business that won that straight up.
Is that Otto?
It's Otto.
Yeah.
And they actually built the existing garage back when Allison's father owned the business.
John F. Otto, yes.
Yeah. So now she's doing it. And they are really keeping to schedule and keeping to budget. And I'm very, there's going to be art with that. It's going to be beautiful.
Well, okay, so that I've had parking issues. There's been times when I didn't get a parking spot in the garage and I was in economy that's no fun.
No.
But typically it's not really that big of a problem for me. But to know that is that going to double the size basically?
Yes, more than.
Wow.
More than double the amount of garage spaces that we have. And we're going to have a lot of electric vehicle charging there. Mm. We're facilitating solar in the roof. So it's going to be a modern facility, a modern garage. It's going to have Wi-Fi throughout. It's going to be a very nice facility.
So you said art. One of the things that I love about I like a lot of the vibe around the airport, but this people probably love those suitcases. I love the suitcases that stack up, you know, super high, and it's kind of just decoration, I suppose. It's art. It's a piece of art. But it kind of says we're here to have fun. It's like a warming thing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Those things are cool. So what's the art going to be like? You said there's art in a parking garage?
Yes. So the exterior, I don't have a picture of. Oh, yes, I do. So the exterior, Paul Ramirez Jonas, in a nationwide competition, won the ability to put art on the exterior.
Very cool. And if you're listening to this, you can't even see it YouTube, but it looks like some kind of writing on these walls, on these little tiles or panels. I guess they're big panels.
So what that's going to be is all kinds of place names for our area, as well as names of people who've worked at the airport or involved in the project.
So nostalgic. So,
I know. It's going to be great. And it's going to look from the outside. This doesn't really show it. But it's going to look like, from a distance, like pear trees and apple trees and those kinds of things.
That's very cool.
We're also putting in 3 different pieces of art in the pedestrian walkway.
Okay.
So,
the new pedestrian walkway.
So when you come in, let me get this right. So when you come in from the concourse to the north side, it's going to be a murmuration of birds, and it's going to feel like you're walking along the river.
Oh, wow.
So we have a couple artists. Isn't that great? So it's going to be in the terrazzo and the sides and the ceiling.
And is this the new walking thing that replaces the train?
Walkway. This is the south side.
Okay.
Then in the central hub will be bird flight paths of endangered birds in this area. And each flight path has been carefully laid out to mimic what the bird actually flies. And then it's going to end with a little image of that bird.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Very creative. Wow.
And then I have one more for you.
Yeah, yeah.
So the last one is going to be on the south side. So when you come, it's when you're at the terminal side of the pedestrian walkway, it's going to be walking on the moon. So there's going to be meteorites in the terrazzo. And kind of a feeling like you're in the shadow of the moon.
Futuristic kind of feel because obviously space travel is upon us. That's really cool.
So, and right now we're soliciting. So the next project that I wanted to describe is we're adding 6 gates to the west end of Concourse B.
Okay.
So right now we have 19 gates there. So we'll be adding 6 more. And right now we've received some submissions from artists based on a robust solicitation for 2D art.
Okay.
So, you know, it could be again in the terrazzo or in the sides, but it's going to be 2D, not sculpture. What you just saw was a lot of 3D.
Okay.
Right? We're looking forward to seeing what the options are.
It's interesting how you theme it a little bit. Is there anything? I know there are certain, I guess these are billboard type space that gives you a local feel for, maybe Smud or somebody like that. Is UC Davis, I've seen up there. They've got places to advertise or share their brand. But I like the stuff personally that gives a more of a Sacramento theme or a theme associated with it.
Yes. So two things. The art, really we wanted the theme to be inside out. Outside in.
Outside
in. So we want, we love the outside spaces here and want to celebrate that.
Okay.
So when we put out the solicitations, Shelley Willis is a well-known artist in the area who's managing all of this for us. So basically she puts out these solicitations saying, here's what we're looking for. Here's the space you'll have. Tell us what your ideas are. And then she runs a selection process with well-known, renowned art experts from our general area.
Oh, that's cool.
Right?
Well, if you think about what Sacramento might represent, Sacramento were trees. A lot of people think we're the city of trees, farm to fork.
Sure.
I don't know that we necessarily have a brand identified with us at this stage, but we're obviously the capital, so it makes me think about how to theme it so that it felt it connects the local community to it too.
Right.
Yeah.
So hopefully that gives you an idea
of
what we're going to have for art. Yeah, and we'll have more opportunities as we continue on with a couple of our other projects.
One of the things that I noticed about, and this is kind of art, it's a monument. You have a flagpole set up. I have flags at my house for like the Marine Corps U.S. flag and the United States flag, and then I have the law enforcement, the Blue Line flag in my yard. And I was getting ready to do that, I was trying to get inspiration, and I saw your flags, and so I've used that at some level as inspiration. That's a very nice little monument that you have
Thank you.
That's been there a long time, though, hasn't it?
It has, and that building that it's next to used to be the administration building.
Okay.
Now it's where our ops and our sheriff's folks are.
Okay, yeah, I like that little area. Okay, so you're working on the big expansion. You've talked a little bit about that. Anything else that we should know about that expansion or get excited about?
So the biggest thing that's yet to come is a consolidated rental car facility. So most people who live here don't rent cars. Some do.
Mm-hmm.
But the consolidated rental car facility was the first one in the country. But it's very 1970s, right? Because remember, the airport was built in 1967. Okay. So it's a lot of surface. You know, the terminal for rental cars isn't great. So, and the, as I said, a big complaint is the shuttle bus to and from that facility. Okay. So we're going to put a consolidated rental car facility, a garage about as big as the existing one, right south of the existing garage.
So you'll be able to walk to it, basically.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I just got back from Albany. As I mentioned, I was in New York, and I was at the Albany airport and mm-hmm. kind of comparing Sacramento. Obviously, we're a lot bigger airport than Albany, but
yeah.
you it felt so quaint. Right? You were like a walk to everything. Yeah. You really weren't taking the shuttles around, so that was
Thank
cool.
Thank you. So you know, what we're trying to do is have a walkable campus in the terminal area. So you'll be able to walk, you know, to the garages. You'll be able to walk to the rental car facility. We're also looking at putting in a ground transportation center, which would be in between the existing Terminal B and the garage, the existing garage, for a, one location where all the Ubers and Lyfts mm-hmm. and the shuttle buses and the RT, everybody would go.
Yeah, I like that idea. There's when I've only done the Uber back from the airport a couple of times, and it's been within the last 12 months, mm-hmm. and I couldn't find out where to go. I was like, oh, yeah, God, where do I go? There is signage, but I was too dumb to find
it. We just changed it. And so Terminal A, it's always been right there. You go out of the baggage and it's right there where the taxis are. Mm-hmm. So now, while the garage is getting built, it's right, if you can picture in B, where the...
It's kind of around
the taxis
corner.
Are. No, yeah. it's not around the corner anymore. We just moved
it. Oh, okay.
It's right across the road. It's just right there.
Cool.
So it's going to be super convenient.
Right there. That's where my eyes took me is something like that, because I've seen that type of thing in other places. And then, but with signs, you can figure, you can find it. But now it's already moved.
It's right there. Yes.
Oh.
And we needed to move it out of the way because they need that for the garage.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine.
So it's like a bunch of dominoes.
Yeah.
You have to figure out, you know, what do we need to build when so we have exactly what we need for our customers.
How do you keep it all straight? So you're the one running four airports, but like an expansion like this is something that it could be 100% consuming, yet you've got a business to run besides the expansion. How do you keep it all straight?
Great people. I have 372 staff who work for me, mm-hmm. but we also have a total of probably 17,000 people who work at the airport, all told. You know, it's a lot.
And the budget, how big is the budget for the airport?
You know what? I don't have that off the top of my head.
It's
what I will say, though, is that we operate everything on our own. We don't get any local tax dollars. So, you know, we get money from parking, from the concessions, as I was describing, from the airlines for their rent.
So, they pay per flight that comes in. So I have a flight comes in, I pay X because I flew a plane inside and dropped off some people.
They pay landing fees.
Oh, landing fees. Okay.
And then they pay for however much space they're using in the terminal.
Mm-hmm.
So they do rent. The airlines rent per square foot.
Okay.
So I'm sorry, I should have that number off the top of my head.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's...
Yeah.
You have a finance background, don't you?
I do, which is why it's embarrassing.
No. You've got it ballparked, I'm sure, in your head. You still want to say that something that you got to take back. So in terms of managing growth and managing managing all that, you're basically a... You're a government agency that is not driven to make profits, yet you want to make enough so that you can continue to reinvest and, you know, pay debt down and things like that. But you have the monopoly, so you could charge whatever you want. So I think that's an interesting question is like, how do you decide how much to charge these? Because it's got a pencil. And yet, there's got to be market forces associated with these numbers.
For sure. So it really depends on which set of customers we're talking about. Mm. So a big thing is with the airlines. Many airports like us have an agreement with the airlines that says we'll charge you for the cost of what it costs to provide this, including our operating costs, allocated admin costs, mm-hmm. as well as our capital costs. But they also help us with coverage. So when we issue bonds, we have to have more than the amount available to pay just straight for the debt. We need to have 25% more than that.
Okay.
So the airlines have agreed to do that. And so that's kind of the backstop.
Okay.
It's really, for the airlines, it's really starting with what's the cost of providing everything to them.
Okay, so we're, as you know, we are involved in the startup community. You may or may not know this too well, but we have something called the Growth Factory, where we invest into startups. They're innovative. Mm-hmm. I was angel investing prior to that, so I got involved in investing into these tech companies that are local. And one of them is called Essential Aero, and they're a drone company that is focused on the airport market and the maybe the Air Force market as far as planes. And it basically, they take the drones around and utilize those to offset the work associated with making sure that the runways are clear and the fence perimeters are clear and that kind of thing. So with that said, I thought that was kind of a unique use of technology that could solve a pretty significant challenge, because it's hard to get good people and get it done efficiently. Yeah. How, what are you doing in terms of innovation and maybe even working with smaller innovative companies to help improve services?
Sure, that's a great question. And, you know, we're very interested in how AI and machine learning can help us do our jobs better. So there are really three types of uses for drones. One is, as you say, inspecting. You know, it would be helpful to be able to send a drone off to Franklin Field to invest, to look at the status of the...
Write the report, give me the video.
And, and the status of the taxiways or the runway, you know, runways there. So that's the first use. The second is to do delivery of small packages, you know, or, you know, getting to the larger size. Third is actually travel between cities. So, you know, it's possible. We're looking at all those options. So
drone travel between cities. Are you saying
like large
just
large
packages, not people?
People. I mean, well, you know, we're there's kind of increasingly a continuum between drones per se and, you know, electric vehicles, electric aircraft, that kind of thing. Given the congestion between here and the Bay Area, you know, it's conceivable that someone who wants to take a nonstop flight to Asia out of San Francisco might want to take a drone and avoid all that congestion. Okay. That's possible. That's a thing that could happen. It's, you know, maybe 5 or 10 years into the future. In the meantime, I'm going to just say we also are really focused on getting nonstop service to Asia and nonstop service to Europe. So we're always working. We know the numbers of how many people want to go from here to any other destination. So we're really working that.
But you have nothing right now that's nonstop to Europe or Asia?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah, because I typically would go into San Francisco to get to Asia and probably through New York, I guess, to get to New York or somewhere on the East Coast to get to Europe.
Yes. So, you know, we're doing very well in terms of how well the airlines are doing here. We've added a lot of nonstop flights, you know, gosh, eight new markets recently, including Puerto Vallarta, Kona, Tucson, Anchorage, Orlando, other
You have a direct flight to Orlando now,
Yes, we do.
Wow.
Morelia is going to be a new service starting July 4th.
What is that, the name of an airline?
It's Morelia. Sorry, that's a location in Mexico.
Oh, gosh.
Yep. No, no. Okay. So, but we know the stats on who wants to go from here to there. So we're the fourth largest U.S. market to Asia that has no nonstop service.
Okay.
Fourth largest in the U.S.
So there's an opportunity
there. There's an opportunity there. With regard to Germany, we're the second largest market. There's, you know, if you think about Bosch and some of the other big entities here, there's a lot of need and a lot of business travelers who want to go from here to Europe in general and Germany in particular.
Do you have a breakdown as to, off the top of your head, roughly how many people are traveling in for business versus personal?
We do. So our share, I don't know the number right now, but it's certainly more people are traveling for leisure than for business. But we think that's changing. So we're really leaning in. One thing I want to mention is my staff, Stephen Clark and his staff have formed what's called the Regional Air Alliance, working with GSEC to get local business support for enhanced air service, international air service.
Oh, so, now what would that local support look like? What would that look like?
So, you know, it could be guaranteeing a number of business class or first class seats
That might be like a communication with Bosch and or some of these other big users, Solidigm, somebody else.
Okay. It could be outright financial support early on when the service is getting started. We can't do that as the airport operator because it violates federal law.
Okay.
But we can certainly and are working with our local partners, local businesses to help with that.
That makes sense.
And as I said, GSEC's really helping with that.
Yeah.
But you can imagine for a Bosch or someone like that, being able to have your people who have scarce time be able to just get on a flight and get right to Frankfurt, for example, that's worth a lot of money.
You bet. And the leisure class would probably love it too.
Sure.
Obviously. And then what do you have infrastructure that needs to happen in order to make that happen? Or could you just, let's say it's United, they could just basically decide to start doing a flight there. So what's stopping them from doing it now?
Not having enough aircraft.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, that's the problem. Yeah.
Okay.
So we are mostly talking to international carriers, British Airways, Lufthansa, entities like that. Yeah, we'll see. But I think we have a really good shot at it within the next year or two.
To get a direct flight from here to Europe or Asia? And where in Asia would that be? Would that be to China or Japan?
So, we'll see. It could be to Taiwan.
Okay.
We know the number one destination that's not served is Delhi.
Delhi?
Right. Yeah, from here. Yep. So we know how many passengers want to go daily each way.
That's
so Delhi,
like,
then Manila. Delhi? Then Manila, right? But you think about our population, and that's why.
Okay.
So it's a lot of friends and family traffic. So, we've got a whole list here. But on the Europe side, London is the most. It has the highest number of people who want to travel each day. And then Frankfurt's next. But once you get to either Asia or Europe, I mean, Asia's big, you can get it almost anywhere from there.
Yeah, so, that makes sense. Yeah. I would think maybe the UK, too. Is that?
Absolutely, UK,
because, a lot of stuff in and out of there.
Sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay, so what did I not ask you? This is a great conversation. I want to make sure that you can share anything else that you want to share or that maybe you think would be, I guess, helpful or informative for us.
So, what I'm really proud of is I've worked hard to make my staff feel comfortable trying new things. So we are doing a lot in terms of innovation. We are the first airport to get, so first of all, safety is number one, right? Mm-hmm. So FAA put out these requirements. It's a 3-step process. We were the first airport in the country to hit each of those steps.
Oh, wow.
I'm very proud of that. We're also the first with this very costly program that we have. We've been very innovative about the sources of funding. So there are 6 sources that are available now that weren't before. We were the first airport in the country to get a low interest federal loan. It was just over 2%.
Nice.
And it was a lot of work to sort of pave the way for everyone. But, I want everyone to feel like they can try things and we won't lambast them if it doesn't go well. One of our staff came up with the idea of putting in IRA, which is for sight impaired people.
Mm-hmm.
So you put on the glasses and it's someone, a live person's looking at whatever you're looking at. You hear straight in front of you, go 3 steps. There's some stairs in front of you, or if you're packing your suitcase, what to do. So her idea was to make that free at the airport.
Okay.
So that's what we've done.
Wow.
So I don't care what your role is.
You're empowering these your teammates to be innovative because they're in the trenches. They know
that's
what
exactly
the needs
right.
are.
One other thing I'll mention is in delivering projects, we're the first department in the county ever to use alternative delivery methods. Rather than design, then bid, then build on everything, we're doing construction manager at risk on a couple projects. The restrooms you mentioned in Terminal A were done that way. The new pedestrian walkways being done that way. The Concourse B gates will be done that way. And the garage is being done design build, which is where the design and the construction is all one contract. So Allison Auto is doing all of that first time in the county as well.
Oh, okay. And I have to imagine that, does that drive down the cost or?
It speeds it up, first of all, and it should it should help save some money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because design and build is where it's all the bid. This is bid process that sometimes seems like it would be cheaper, but it's not as maybe efficient.
It's, and I'll just, minor thing, it's not bid per se, which is just lowest cost. Mm-hmm. What it is, it's a proposal. So they submitted to us a proposal on what they would do for what, and they won.
Wow, that's great. Mm-hmm. I love it. Well, I really appreciate the education on this stuff, Cindy, and thanks for leading such an important piece that, at least for in my world, we don't really talk about it. It's like if you sort of take it for granted, maybe if there's, as we joked about some of the, if there's a line at Starbucks, you want to, you're unhappy, but otherwise we just sort of take it for granted. We show up and we get where we're going and we come home and no big deal. Mm-hmm. So thanks for leading that and keeping our lives running smoothly.
Sure thing. Thank you for your interest. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. And to all you out there fighting the good fight for entrepreneurship and for the backyard advantage, and of course, all of you out there fighting the good fight for our freedom, our security, and our way of life. Here at the Haney Biz, the Mark Haney Show, and the Growth Factory, we're never above you. We're never below you. Always by your side.
This segment includes the personal knowledge, experiences, and opinions about angel investing by seasoned angel investors. This content is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Nothing in the segment constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, or endorsement.